But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Running everywhere, and wow. Hey, I'm encouraged this morning. Can I tell you why I'm encouraged this morning? Say, sure, Coach, that's why we turned in. I'm encouraged this morning because things are beginning to happen. We got a lot of really, really good things going on. In fact, Spencer's got it up on the schedule for us today. Some things I want to cover real quick, and then some other things I want to burrow in on that I think are really, really important. It encourages my heart when I begin to see you guys do stuff. It's such an encouragement to me. You know, we're spread out in so many different places. I was having a conversation with, maybe it was Pastor Matt Twella the other day when we were on a phone call with him. I just said, Matt, listen, I'm in contact with guys everywhere. We got them everywhere, Matt. But the problem we have is we don't really know what we're supposed to do. Nobody's really plugged in. Nobody understands. And everybody's got a ministry, and it's all good. And, you know, JR's doing his thing, and Larry's doing his thing, and Jeff Klein's doing his thing, and David Arthur's doing his thing. It's all good. It's all good. But we're just, I don't know, man, we're just not connected here together. We need to encourage one another and support one another. And I got a call from Ohio Brett. And Ohio Brett, man, he's up and I'm going to talk about that this morning. He's up and running and rolling and getting all kinds of great things going on because ultimately, as we did a show a couple weeks ago, everything is local now, friends. Listen, there's a demon in the White House. I don't even know if he's in the White House. But there, you talk about the kings of this earth conspiring against the Lord and his anointed. Have you guys watched some of the things that the Biden administration has done? Every one of them anti-Christ. It's like unbelievable. It's like the devil got his throne back and he's just whacking and wailing away everywhere that he can. It's amazing. Yet at the same time, it's the most surreal thing. Joe Biden has no aura of president around him. There's no aura that this guy's president. Nothing, folks. There's nothing there. And something's happening. And so I just want to encourage you, whatever it is that you're doing at the local level, keep doing it. Don't get discouraged. Stay encouraged because I know this, more and more and more people are beginning to awaken. I look at the schedule. It's what I want to show you here this morning. We're having, Chad's having a, he got postponed a couple weeks ago because of the weather. But Chad's having an event. I think Chad just got his internet back yesterday, if you can believe that. Chad's having an event. I think it's still on, Chad. I'm sorry if you're not up. Chad's having an event this weekend in Texas. Get down there if you're close. Get down there. Drive 3 hours and just spend the afternoon with the people. Get to know them. That's going on. Chad's got there at the Estes Ranch, which really isn't on a ranch. And at the same time, on the 27th, we're having one here. Mike Blake's hosting one, a Salt Light Brigade huddle here in Newark. Keep praying for Mike. I don't know if he's in there. Yeah, Mike, you in here, Mike? Did you go to work today, buddy? How you feeling? People worried about you.
Yeah, I'm at work, Coach. I'm hanging in there.
When do you go to the doctor, Mike?
Friday's when I go to the specialist.
Figure out what the heck's going on. Folks, keep praying for Mike, all right? Keep praying because they told him it was a growth on his lung and yada yada, all that stuff. And you know, I posted something yesterday. We used to have medicine. We don't even have. It's really practicing medicine now, isn't it? When you go to the doctor, it's just take this drug, take that drug, take this drug, take that drug. And we just pray, Mike, that the great physician touches you and heals you in right same direction. But as far as you know, we're still on for Saturday, Mike?
Yes, sir.
Unless they drag you out in a hearse or something like that, we're still going to be doing. Okay, that's here inside. And Randy's doing one on Sunday. Oklahoma Salt and Light Brigade, hold it, Randy's on Sunday. So, folks, look, you can get one going right wherever you are. Get one going. And I'm going to get Ohio Bread in here a second. We're going to talk about something that Ohio Bread has gone on. Jeff had his huddle in the garage last night. How many showed up? They're not calling it a Salt and Light Brigade. It doesn't matter. How many did you have show up last night, Jeff?
We had 12.
12 guys, 12, 12 guys in the huddle. 12 guys in there. So, folks, come on, man. Come on. It's time. Weather's starting to break. We're going to be in Pataskala, Ohio. You say, what? Yeah, Pataskala. That's just east of Columbus. At the Kroger store on 1 o'clock on Saturday. Saturday at 1 o'clock. Sunday at 1 o'clock. Sunday at 1 o'clock. And we're going to do a honking wave there. And take off your masks. Come out and breathe. Life's okay. All the lies are being exposed for what's been going on. But you know, Fauci came out yesterday and said, we're going to wear these masks through 2022. Over my dead body, we're going to wear them over 2022. And then don't forget the Go Therefore conference. Again, Mike Spalding's putting that on. I got a little video we can play on that if you can find that down at the bottom there, the Spalding conference. It's not very long. It started out as a men's conference. Folks, this is a great place for you to come and fellowship and get to meet like-minded people and connect the dots with folks. And this one is at Harvest Revival Center. It's in Brookville. And this is a little video that they made on this men's summit coming up here in a couple weeks. Go ahead and play that real quick, Spence. Jamie Walden, David Paxton. I should have been reading these names sooner. I forget some of you don't watch them. Neil Peterson. It's going to be good, folks. It's going to be good. It's second week of April. Is that right? March? Second week of March. It's only $20. Find somebody you can room up with. Go to Go Ye Therefore Conference March 5th and 6th. Looking forward to all of it. Down. This is just popping up. I talked a little bit about it yesterday. Russ Dizdar and his team we're doing a conference in Newark the weekend of April 16th and 18th. It's not up on the screen yet. Okay. We don't have it on because we're still working out the details, but Russ and his team are committed to number one, come and train how to, you ready? Cast out devils, take control of the demonic realm. Actually, how to do it. Zaire team's going to come. And he's going to actually do some personal ministry with those of you who are struggling with spiritual issues. So this is the 16th, 17th, and 18th of April. It's not on the schedule yet, but please make sure that you mark that down so you can get here. Now, I got a lot more stuff we could talk about. I'm not going to talk about it now because I want to get rolling on here. Anybody have anything for the good of the group on any? Hey, yeah, come on. Yep.
Two quick things. One, I think the other day, I guess Dr. Mike Spalding said that he's having David Arthur speak up there too, is what David told me, I'm pretty sure. But last night we had a doctor in the garage female doctor at Knox Community Hospital. She's been reprimanded, put the crappy shifts because she won't wear a mask. She is standing up there. She told us last night she bought some kind of meter to gauge bacteria in the air. And she said, normally around you, surrounding around you, you got 400 to 700, whatever the measurement is, of bacteria. You put that inside your mask and measure it, it goes over 7,000 immediately of bacteria. Just so she's got this little video she's going to share with us. I told her, get us the video, and I'll send it to you when she gets it to us.
All right. Hey, Jeff, folks, look at me. Look at me real close here. If you think this thing is about a vaccine, about a virus, I don't even know. I don't even know what to tell you. If you really think that this thing is about a virus, I don't know what to tell you.
Amen.
And that's why I'm encouraging. We're pushing back so hard. I got to show this. Go to my Facebook page here real quick, Spencer. I got this. Matt Tuella called me, and I texted Kevin Van Story. And then look what pops up on my Facebook page here today. We can make it. Scroll on down a little bit, please. We can make a difference, folks. Look at this little right here. This is Fox News last night talking about what they have done in a small county in Missouri. Hey, by the way, hey, Kevin Van Story, I don't know if Kevin's in here. This is all based off of Matt Tuella's Doctrine of the Lesser Magistrate book. These guys got his book, they read his book, and they decided all politics is local, and we're not going to let Washington, D.C. tell us what to do any minute more. This is 4 minutes and 13 seconds. Fox News showing what they've done as a result of Pastor Matt Tuella's Doctrine of the Lesser Magistrates. Go ahead and play it.
Do you support banning of certain types of firearms?
The president is a strong supporter of gun control and has been an advocate all his life, his professional life, on this question. The role of the Justice Department is to advance the policy program of the administration as long as it is consistent with the law. There is room under the law for the president's policies to be pursued, then I think the president's entitled to pursue them.
Attorney General nominee Judge Merrick Garland signaled that any gun control policies put forth by the Biden administration could be backed by the DOJ. In an effort to protect their rights, one county in Missouri is giving their sheriff the power to arrest any federal agent who attempts to enforce a policy
that violates
their local gun laws. Here with more is Newton County Commissioner David Osborne. Good morning to you, Commissioner.
Hey, good morning, Ansley. How are you?
I'm doing well. So when you hear him, it's not what the Constitution says. It's what the Biden administration wants to enforce, and he is there to make sure that that is followed. What made you want to pass this ordinance?
Well, Ansley, first off, thank you so much for having me on. It's a real privilege to be here. Huge fan of the show.
Thank you.
You know, it, for us, it was very simple. We had people walking through our courthouse doors saying, what are you going to do to protect our rights? When I have a 70-year-old retired principal walk through my door with a letter saying, I want to make my 37 acres a sanctuary for guns, it starts you thinking, hey, we need to do something about this. And, you know, I've got to give a shout out to James Cohagen in Camden County. He actually kicked this off with the first draft of this with an ordinance. And then constituents and friends of mine just started putting that in front of me every day to say, hey, mm-hmm. we need to look at this and we need to do the same thing. Mm-hmm. So we did. And when we did, you know, we took it before our prosecuting attorney here and had him look at it and review it. And we added some things. And, of course, we took it to our sheriff, too. That was a very important step for us to take it to our sheriff and say, you know, sheriff, what are you seeing here that you like, don't like? We want to work with you and we want to make sure that, you know, you're very comfortable and we're considerate of how you're going to enforce this. So those are some of the steps that we took.
Okay, so Commissioner, your ordinance protects against any tax that's imposed on firearms, accessories, or ammunition. Registering or tracking of firearms, firearm owners, confiscation of firearms from law-abiding citizens. What do you fear? I mean, I think it's clear when I read that, but I want to ask you, what do you fear that the Biden administration will do and take away when it comes to your rights?
Well, I think our biggest concern would be this. Our biggest concern would be the taxes, you know, because he's made mention of it. He said as much. You know, he had mm-hmm. Mr. Beto come on and say, you know, we're going to tax you very high on this. And we got to figure it out. But you know, it, some people are looking at paying $40,000 and $50,000 and $60,000 for the taxes to be able to keep their guns.
Yeah, remember Beto said we're coming for your guns. Will local law enforcement be able to arrest federal law enforcement agents if they try to do this?
Well, as far as we're concerned here in Newton County, yes, ma'am.
And yeah. Did you get the support of the sheriff? I know you went to him and talked to him.
We certainly did. We certainly did. Chris Jennings has been a great sheriff. You know, it's real important to mention too. We're all very like-minded down here. You know, we're all conservatives, but we all think alike. We love our guns and we love our freedom. You know, that's right. The biggest thing. It's a freedom.
Amen.
And it's a right to be able to defend yourself against, you know, a harm. And that's what it is. You know, and the real point to make here is guns are just a tool. The people that pick them up and choose to use them and how they choose to use them have the choice to use them for good or for bad.
That's
and
right.
We're talking about law-abiding citizens. This isn't dealing with criminals, law-abiding citizens. Criminals will still choose to do bad every day.
That's okay, right. You can pull that down, Spencer.
Thank you so much.
Hey, sanctuary city for guns. We ought to have sanctuary cities for abortion. We ought to have sanctuary cities for our libraries. We ought to have sanctuary, you name it, whatever it is. We have got to reclaim our power and our authority and our God-given constitutional rights locally, folks, locally. Let's pick a fight with the feds. And this is a pretty simple thing to do. This is really, really, you got to be pesky. You got to get some people. This is right up JR's alley and some of the guys out there, Larry, some of the things that they're doing. But we're seeing right here, this is effective. If the feds come into this county and try to take somebody's weapons, the sheriff is obligated to arrest the feds. By the way, that's the way it's supposed to work. Kevin Van Story, are you in here this morning, Kevin? You can talk about this a minute. Kevin's always in here. Probably one of those mornings he didn't join. So you got guys, you get it, okay? Now listen, let me tie something together here for you real quickly. Hey, I got something really good coming. Stay with me a second. Something very, very deeply spiritual. Stay with me. Ohio Brett. I got a call from Ohio Brett yesterday. So, yeah, Spencer, can you throw his schedule up there? There's been a transformation. I say this in a good way. In the heart of Ohio Brett, and his eyes have opened to the larger picture of what's going on. He understands and he sees it. And he already has connections about being able to, you know, go to speak in schools and all that stuff. But Ohio Brett is beginning this weekend and a tour of all Ohio, 88 counties in Ohio. And Brett's goal is to go set little brush fires in all 88 counties and awaken people to exactly what's going on with our government and our need to be proactive and get out in front and do honking waves like we're going to do in Pataskala on Sunday. And Brett, just share with us here a second, brother, where you're coming from on that.
Well, Coach, as you know, as you had me on the guest, what was it, like 8 months ago? And then I've been on consistently every day because, Coach, I got to tell you, I'm very, very proud to be your strong safety on Coach Dave Live. And even before we went on this journey, since 2004, I've been a professional speaker, gone wherever I've been invited to speak, whether it's a church or a school or a group of veterans or some business guy had me come in and talk. So I've been and I've had lots of great mentors and I had a chance to travel the country, but I'm from Ohio and Ohio is the heart of it all. And so all 88 counties, God led that on my heart. And I've already been, like when I was up a few weeks ago, hit 8 counties. But now I can consistently drive and encourage everybody to plug into CoachDaveLive.com everywhere I go. And I'm sharing a 5-step plan with everybody that I meet. Now that I've learned from you and from other people who've been guests, how to guide people where to go to become those sanctuary counties. How to help we the people recruit people to run for office at every level. How to encourage and grow the body of Christ. Those are just 3 of the things that I'm doing. But the brush fires with the masks, it's an easy way to get out there, do honking waves, get groups of people in. And I did email you my schedule.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I just sent that to Spencer. If you can, I just sent it to you, Spencer. Pull that thing up. Brett's already got like 21 counties already scheduled here, folks.
Yeah, I'm going to hit 21 counties in 21 days. And basically, I can be in a county for 90 minutes to 2 hours. I've built a volunteer base, friends, it's not that we're the same people here, Coach, and that's why as your strong safety, we're going to stir things up. So if you guys can, if you can.
There, it's up on the screen now, Brett.
Perfect. There we go. So every blitz, every strong safety blitz is going to be a meetup with Ohio Brett so I can quickly tell the story. Then we're going to honk and wave. And then whoever wants to, we're going to go in unmasked to a store. And I got some volunteers that these people on Facebook hit you up. And Coach said it. Don't go one alone because they'll get you. They'll isolate. They'll get you if you go one at a time. But we're going to go in groups. So here's the schedule. And I'm super excited to support Emma Stout on her honk and wave in Pataskala. And then I'll do all the blitzes. I'll be at the Go Therefore conference. The war is here to see Coach in action. I'll be at the Ohio Salt and Light Brigade huddle this weekend. But that's the schedule right there, folks. And I'm just one simple man and just laid out a small budget. I got a rental car. I have hotels for 21 days. I actually have 10 people I'll be staying with. So the cheapest hotel I know is Red Roof Inn. So 11 days there, gas, meals, and the rental car. And any help would be a blessing.
So, folks, we're trying to raise in the neighborhood of about $3,000, $3,500 for this monthly tour that Brett's gonna take.
And oh,
if
yeah.
We all chip in. If you throw in $25, hey, Brett, if they just send it to me, give it to us here at Coach Dave Live and just make a notation, it's for Ohio Brett. That'd be okay with you, brother. We do it that way.
That would be great. That'd be the best way. Just make a note, Ohio Brett. I'm getting ready to leave tonight. So anything you could do today would be a huge blessing.
Okay, folks, now look, see right there on the schedule, he's going to different cities throughout. Brett, tell them this. The more people you talk about taking the masks off, honking waves, we got to do something. You feel the enthusiasm, right, Brett? They're just waiting for somebody to provide some leadership.
Feel the enthusiasm. It's a forearm shiver of enthusiasm, and I can't get them to stop talking like I'm doing now. I'm excited. But here's what's nice about being a strong safety. I'm just one person on this team. I get encouraged by everybody in this huddle, Coach. And so the first thing I do is, hey, friend that I meet wherever it is, whether it's Facebook or somebody calls me or emails me, Ohio Brett's on this team. You need to know about Coach Dave Live. So that's step number one, driving them to this huddle.
Amen, baby. Amen. So folks, please help Brett. He's stepping out in faith to do it. This is what he does, of course. He's stepping out in faith to do it, and this is a critical time in Ohio. So if you can just go and make a donation, whatever you can, 10, 20, anything you throw in is going to help provide for Brett to do it. So thanks, Brett, man. I'm going to move on. I'll see you Sunday in Pataskala, if not sooner. We got to get Jeff Klein off his butt.
See you Saturday for the Salt and Light Brigade for Saturday.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You'll see me at Mike Blake's. All right, brother. Thanks, Brett. Cool.
Thank you. God bless.
Come on in, Larry.
Yeah, you know, I was going to say praise the Lord for the direction we're taking and for Brett's activities and things. Brett's has been an ambassador for Friends of Liberty United for almost 8 months now since I first got aware of Brett. You know, this business of work locally, form your little teams locally and stuff like that, and get those little teams to start cooperating with each other.
I mean, they're everywhere,
doing
by the
same thing everywhere. Now, that is not a new concept. It is a concept that we have been working with for almost a year now.
If you can play
Friends of Liberty United,
that'll give you a 55-second taste of a speaking program.
Yeah, play that if you can there, Spence. It's the first thing. Ohio Brett's got that YouTube. Go ahead and play that real quick. Didn't mean to cut you off, Larry. Go ahead.
Yeah, so folks, it's never too late to join up with a team that is putting the playbook together and getting the best quarterback to pass the ball to the best end and getting the best defensive lineman to make the sack. I don't understand why we're still not flocking together.
We're moving there now, man. We're flying together now. Go ahead and play this real quick here for Brett. It's only about 30 seconds, maybe a minute.
But we got to plant that seed of what is your goals for your life, not your mom's. Who will you be in every single aspect of your life? You guys got to have some serious thought to what you want to do in life. Who are you going to be as a son or daughter? What kind of person are you going to be?
and you're trying to navigate being the best student you can, if you're an athlete, being the best athlete you can, your high school career, your next 3+ years are going to go by so quick. But we got to plant that seed of what is your goals for your life, not your mom's, not your dad's, not your grandpa's, not your teacher's, but it's got to be your vision and your passion for your life.
Amen, Brett. And that plays right in to what I want to talk about today. Anybody else before I dive, going to get a little spiritual here on you, if I can in a second. Anybody for the good of the group? Yep. Hey, how about Steve Deck sold his house?
Congratulations.
May not mean anything to you, but it means something to him. Mike Blake's getting healthier, and we're believing for a quick healing there for Mike Blake. I'm sorry, Steve, didn't mean to cut you off there, bud. All right, it's all good, man. Do you guys remember, how long ago was it Steve Deck got fired for sharing the gospel? You're just sharing it too much, Steve. Just sharing it too much. You're ruined. You're finished. You're out of here, Steve.
Best part of my life's ahead of me right
now. It's unbelievable.
That's right.
Winner's bounce, baby. Winner's bounce. Well,
and, Coach, that's what's great about this team. I had the honor of meeting Steve in the hotel in Washington, D.C.
Yes, sir.
Someday, by faith, I'm going to be on street preaching with Jeff or meeting Randy and Clay again and everybody. This team's amazing.
It is an amazing team. Amazing. I don't know if you guys know. I want to throw this out there real quick. Pull up for me Ecclesiastes 1. I got it right down there at the bottom. I pull that up. This came at me really, really hard yesterday. You know we dodged a bullet, friends? Did you? You know this Merrick Garland that they're talking about being attorney general? You know, he's the one they wanted to nominate for the Supreme Court. You know that, right? What a political hack Merrick Garland is. What a political hack. And I don't know if you guys saw yesterday, they asked him what's his opinion about immigrants jumping the border. Is it illegal? And he couldn't even give a straight answer on whether or not that's illegal. Not even illegal. Did you see that he said that the attack on the Capitol was an insurrection, but when BLM did it, it wasn't because they did it at night. I'm not making it up. But this guy was going to be on the U.S. Supreme Court, folks. So when they talk about Obama judges and Trump judges, there really is a war, isn't it? There really is a war. And unfortunately, we found out that the ones that we thought we were fighting for to get on there, ain't been very good, has it? Huh? Kavanaugh. Hey, thanks, Kavanaugh. Hey, thanks. What's that lady's name? We got to get her on there, man. She's a constitutionalist you can't trust in the arm of man, right? Amy Comey Barrett couldn't even go for upon further review. She'd probably vote for it for a Notre Dame football game, but she won't vote upon further review for an election. The hell's going on? Oh, there I go using that word again. Sorry. What the heck's going on? So I was reading this. Michelle and I were reading this the other day. Is Silver in here? Yeah, get ready, Silver. This is Silver. I got... Lord Don, you want me to read it all? Yeah, let's read all this today. I want you to let this sink in. I want every one of you who's sitting, every one of you, this is why this came to my life. I know three people who recently have died. And when they died, they left a bunch, if you know what I'm talking about. They left a bunch. And Michelle and I were reading this last week. And then I brought it up at an event I was at this weekend, and people looking at me like my eyes are crossed. And I said Rush Limbaugh. I said, Rush Limbaugh, how much money did Rush Limbaugh leave? And somebody said, well, you know, Coach, a wise man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. I said, well, I get that. But who's Limbaugh leaving all that money to? Who's he leaving it to? And is the money that Limbaugh left behind, is it going to continue to promote the causes? He gives it to his nieces and nephews. How do we know they're not going to go buy someplace in Hawaii and have pop parties all the time? I don't know, right? I don't know. Nobody knows. And the money that you have, the money that I have, and the talents that we have, all of us, what are we hoarding those for? Does anybody know what is it you're hoarding? Anybody know anybody? I can tell you several, by the way, whose grandfather died. Worked his whole life, built a business. His grandfather died, and then his grandchildren peed all the money away. Anybody, give me a thumbs up if you know what I'm talking about, right? We all know that, right? We all know examples of that, right? And that could be me. That could be you. That could be all of us. And so Michelle started reading this to me the other day, and it just resonated. And I want you to, I'll try to keep my mouth quiet as he reads. That's a lie. I'm sorry, Lord. I'll try not to interrupt too much. But I want you to think about this. Think about what right now, what you are giving your life towards. Because your vision and your ministry and whatever it is the Lord has laid upon your heart, you cannot pass that obligation on to somebody else. You can't do it. Now, the Lord will find somebody to do it, but you're going to stand before him. Can you imagine Limbaugh standing before him and the Lord says, Rush, you did a great job, really love him, man. You're one of the greatest conservatives ever, Rush. And you left $70 million. By the way, Rush, what'd you do with that $70 million that you accumulated? That when you the minute your heart stopped and you laid them down on that ground or the floor, whatever you did, the minute that somebody else had that money, Rush, what are they going to do with it, Rush? And it's not an attack on Rush Limbaugh, and it's not an attack on you, and it's not an attack on me. It is the whole idea. The confluence of the parable of the talents. Here it is. This is the parable of the talents. Ecclesiastes, right? Means teacher, teacher. So Solomon wrote Ecclesiastes, and I'll shut up as Joe tries to read his way through. I'm going to try to read two chapters, so bear with me here a second. Go ahead, Joe.
Ecclesiastes 1. The words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem. Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher. Vanity of vanities. All is vanity.
Stop a minute. Everything that you are doing for your glorification or your accumulation or whatever, it's all vanity. What does vanity mean? Good for nothing. Everything that you're doing for you is good for nothing, all right? I don't care how many cars you have, how many houses you have, how beautiful your lawn is, how good you are at putting your putter. I don't care about it. It is all vanities. Why? Because it will vanish the day you die. Go ahead.
What profit hath a man of all of his labor, which he taketh under the sun? One generation passeth away, and another generation cometh, but the earth abideth forever. The sun also ariseth, and the sun goeth down, and hasteth to his place where he arose. The wind goeth toward the sun, and turneth about unto the north. It whirleth about continually, and the wind returneth again according to his circuits. All the rivers run into the sea, yet the sea is not full. Unto the place from whence the rivers come, thither they return again. All things are full of labor. Man cannot utter it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing,
wow,
nor the ear filled with hearing.
You can never see enough. You can never hear enough. It's never satisfied. Go ahead.
Is there anything whereof it may be said, see, this is new? It hath been already of old time, which was before us. There is no remembrance of former things, neither shall there be any remembrance of the things that are to come with those that shall come after. I, the preacher, was king over Israel in Jerusalem, and I gave my heart to seek and search out by wisdom concerning all things that are done under heaven. This sore travail hath God given to the sons of man to be exerciseth therewith.
It's a burden. It's a sore travail to be accumulating stuff. Keep going, Joe.
I have seen all the works that are done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and vexation of spirit. That which is crooked cannot be made straight, and that which is wanting cannot be numbered. I communed with mine own heart, saying, lo, I am come to great estate, and have gotten more wisdom than all they that have been before me in Jerusalem. Yea, My heart had great experience of wisdom and knowledge, and I gave my heart to know wisdom and to know madness and folly. I perceive that this also is vexation of spirit.
Wow.
For in much wisdom is much grief, and he that increaseth knowledge increaseth sorrow.
Somebody say amen to that. Boy, the more you know, the more you wish you didn't know. Isn't that the way it goes? Well, we're not done yet, baby, because he's going to get the heart of it here in chapter 2. Remember, there weren't chapters. This is just a new paragraph, not a new chapter. Chapter 2.
I said in mine heart, go to now, and I will prove thee with mirth. Therefore, enjoy pleasure. And behold, this also is vanity.
Yeah, eat, drink, and be happy, for tomorrow we die, right? It's all vanity.
I said of laughter, it is mad, and of mirth, what doeth it? I sought in my heart to give myself unto wine, yet acquainting mine heart with wisdom, and to lay hold on folly, till I might see what was that good for the sons of men, which they should do under the heaven all the days of their life. I made me great works.
Yes, he did.
I built me houses.
Yep.
I planted me vineyards.
Yep.
I made me gardens and orchards, and I planted trees in them of all kinds of fruits. I made me pools of water to water therewith the wood that bringeth forth trees. I got me servants and maidens, and had servants born in my house. Also, I had great possessions of great and small cattle above all that were in Jerusalem.
Mega!
I gathered me also silver and gold and the peculiar treasure of kings and of the provinces. I gat me men singers and women singers and the delights of the sons of men as musical instruments and that of all sorts. So I was great.
No, Joe. So I was great. Isn't that it? Isn't that the striving of the heart of man? Solomon said, I was there. I was at the mountain. I was great. Men singers, women singers, vineyards, apples, houses, horses. I was great.
Sorry, Coach. And my poop don't stink either.
Keep going.
So I was great and increased more than all that were before me in Jerusalem. Also, my wisdom remained with me. And whatsoever mine eyes desired, I kept not from them. I withheld not my heart from any joy, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor. And this was my portion of all my labor.
He got to enjoy it. Vanity, vanity. Oh, it's vanity. Got to enjoy it all. Go ahead.
Then I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought and on the labor that I had labored to do. And behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit. And there was no profit under the sun.
Wow.
And I turned myself to behold wisdom and madness and folly. For what can the man do that cometh after the king? Even that which hath been already done. Then I saw that wisdom excelleth folly, as far as light excelleth darkness. The wise man's eyes are in his head, but the fool walketh in darkness. And I myself perceived also that one event happeneth to all.
One event happens to them all, baby. Go ahead.
Then I said in my heart, as it happened to the fool, so it happeneth even to me. And why was I then more wise? Then I said in my heart that this also is vanity.
His wisdom was vanity.
For there is no remembrance of the wise more than of the fool forever.
Where's Rush Limbaugh now? Anybody know where Rush Limbaugh is now? talent on loan from God. I'm not making fun of Rush. Where is he now? All that stuff he accumulated, all those things he said, all those arguments he had, all those millions of broadcasts. Where is he now? Go ahead, Joe.
Seeing that which now is in the days to come shall all be forgotten. And how dieth the wise man?
As a fool.
As the fool. Amen. Therefore, I hated life, because the work that is wrought under the sun is grievous unto me. For all is vanity and vexation of spirit.
Let me stop you there a second. I said to my wife yesterday, whenever it was we read this, I look around. I'm 68 years old. How old am I? However old I am. I'm a year older than I was last year. I think I'm still out here fighting. I'm still doing this stuff. And I look around and nobody gives a damn. I see what they're doing to our kids. I see what they're doing to our grandkids. I see how rotten and corrupt our government is. Why don't I just sell everything and go lay on the beach? Why don't I do that? Because it's all vanity, vanity anyway, isn't it? Why don't I just go do that? Just enjoy my life. Because in the end, what is it? Therefore, I hated life, because the work that is wrought under the sun, it's grievous. It's hard. Why? For all is vanity and vexation of spirit. You look around and you look how many people are living totally and completely for vanity's sake. And I don't want to be one of those guys. I don't want to be one of those guys. Go ahead, Joe.
Yea, I hated all my labor which I had taken under the sun, because I should leave it unto the man.
Yeah, oh yeah.
I'll be after me.
Yeah, yeah. Why should I do it? My kids are going to spend it anyway.
And who knoweth whether he shall be a wise man or a fool?
Mm.
Yet shall he have rule over all my labor,
wow,
wherein I have labored, and wherein I have showed myself wise unto the sun. This is also vanity.
Yes, it is.
Therefore, I went about to cause my heart to despair of all the labor which I took under the sun.
So then he got despair. He said, oh my God, I did all this and my grandkids are going to blow it at the casino? Are you kidding me? All I put my life into, they're going to go spend it on dances and football games and trips to Hawaii? What? Go ahead. I think that's what he's saying. Somebody think I'm wrong. That's okay. I think that's what Solomon's saying here.
For there is a man whose labor is in wisdom and in knowledge and in equity. Yet to a man that hath not labored therein, shall he leave it for his portion?
Wow.
This also is vanity and a great evil.
Oh, my goodness. To go spend what you didn't earn. That's a vanity and a great. It's Solomon saying it, not me. And no, hey, listen. No, I'm not trying to get into your pocket. I'm trying to talk to you about a satisfying life to make a difference while you are here now. Go ahead.
For what hath man of all his labor and of the vexation of his heart, wherein he hath labored under the sun? For all his days are sorrows, and his travail grief. Yea, his heart taketh not rest in the night. This is also vanity. There is nothing better for a man than that he should eat and drink, and that he should make his soul enjoy good in his labor. This also I saw, that it was from the hand of God.
See, this wasn't vanity. This is from the hand of God. What? That he would enjoy his labor. Enjoy it. Go ahead.
For who can eat, or who else can hasten hereunto? More than I. For God giveth to a man that is good in his sight wisdom and knowledge and joy. But to the sinner he giveth travail to gather and to heap up, that he may give to him that is good before God. This also is vanity and vexation of spirit.
So you say, Coach, where are you going with all this? Well, I'm going to make the same connection about the guys I just talked about who died and left all this stuff. The greatest generation. Remember that? They called my dad's generation the greatest generation. Why? They conquered Hirohito in Japan. They took on Mussolini. They took on Hitler. They built the most powerful industrial machine the world had ever seen. They made it possible to fly from New York City to Paris, France in just a matter of hours. There was nothing that they could not do. We were great. But what? Those same men lost their sons and their daughters to the hippie movement, the free love of the 1960s. And everything they built and everything they accumulated, a wise man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. And we have turned our eyes towards material things, and it's all vanity and vexation of spirit. When in fact, the only thing we have is what we have available to us in our hands while we still live. When I was working on Sky High last year, I was making a little bit of concrete. There was a hole in the driveway up there on the patio driveway. And I went and got my granddaughter Reese. And we got some quickcrete. We mixed up the quickcrete. And we put that quickcrete in that hole, filled that hole in, spread it out, put water. You know how you do it, Randy. And I grabbed Reese's little hand, and I stuck her hand down in there. And then I wrote at the top of it, Reese, August 2020. I said, Reese, you're the queen of Sky High. This, Reese, Grampy's going to live through what you do here. I got a few more years, and I'm going to enjoy it, and I'm going to build it the best I can. But my whole life is being passed to you. You guys see that? You understand it? Do you see how much we've missed it in the accumulation of stuff? Solomon had it all. I was great. No, he wasn't. Come on in, Roger. Or Rochelle, or Roger.
You took care of it. The only thing I would, you know, that's the thing that I wonder sometimes is the balance. You know, we've had many shows on here on preparedness and being ready and so forth. And you read Ecclesiastes and it kind of points you in a different direction.
Sure does.
I think there's a balance to these things. You know, if you take Ecclesiastes full steam, you know, I guess, would we go to work at all? but for the fact that scripture takes us in other directions of responsibility. So it's a wonderful teaching. The other thing I think I got, and when you started this a little bit, was the teaching of the crowns in heaven. I don't think there's enough teaching. Mm. We spend so much time accumulating here, we forget that God's keeping an eye on what we're doing. And the Bible clearly talks about four or five different crowns that are available as we enter heaven. So that was all I had to say.
Amen, Roger, because it's not about the accumulation of stuff. That's not. But we've been taught that, haven't we? See, the inheritance, the inheritance is to instill in Reese, my oldest grandchild, that's why I put her hand on that, to instill to her that I live through her. That's the inheritance that I leave. All that other stuff, if she turns it into a pot-smoking haven, that wasn't my vision. And all I could do, it was hand off to her what I accumulated, but ultimately it's in her hands. And if we're going to leave this property, all of you, you're going to leave your property to your children. Are they going to use it the way you intended it to be used?
Well, they might. They might.
If you've left the inheritance inside them that you need to leave inside them, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Then it becomes a good thing. Becomes a good thing. Come on in, Rochelle.
Okay, this is Luke 10, 41. But the Lord said to her, "My dear Martha, you are worried and upset over all these details. There is only one thing worth being concerned about. Mary has discovered it, and it will not be taken away from her. So, yeah, live with joy, not accomplishment.
Amen. 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 Wow. Larry, then Dane, then Craig.
Yeah, I love Roger. Balance, man. Ecclesiastes is it's such a difficult book to get through because so much of it is stuff that's vanity. But yet, there's a balance in Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes 12, 13, and 14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God.
Amen.
And keep his commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. Wow. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. There's a balance there in Ecclesiastes.
Boy, there's an inheritance to teach to your children, huh? There's an inheritance. David Arthur, did you want to come in? I saw you up there and then your hand went down. If you want to, didn't mean to not include you. Not trying to put pressure on. Let's go to James Pollock. James, come on in.
I just want to encourage the men that have accumulated everything and lost it.
My signal is, Coach Dave. I just wanted to say that, you know, I'm driving along here.
You're breaking up, Dave. You're breaking up, man.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, there I got you. Go ahead. No, we can't hear you. Get a good signal and come on back in. James, go ahead. Sorry you got walked on there, bud.
That's okay. It happens. I've had to repent for walking on many people. I just want to encourage men. The shepherd left the 99 at home and went out and got the one that was lost. Jesus cared enough to do that for me. And repentance kills all the works of the enemy.
Mm-hmm.
When you do that, exercise patience. Don't make the mistake of asking for it. Exercise it.
Amen.
And God will give you that one because there's so many lost. All we have to do is our lives, our testimony to someone who's crying out to God.
Living sacrifice, brother. Living sacrifice. That's what Solomon was saying, right? A living sacrifice. Try it again, David. See if you can get in. Yes, not. Craig, come on in, Craig.
Coach, the only thing that we bring into heaven are the people that we influence. Amen. That is our inheritance. Amen. Okay.
Crowns and the jewels in our crown.
That's right. The only man-made thing in heaven is the scars that man put on Christ, which I believe Chuck Misler was right. We're going to see it as God walks amongst us in the garden like he did when Adam and Eve had a relationship with him. Mm-hmm. This earth, Coach, go back to Genesis 3. The serpent was cursed and the earth was cursed. Everything that you see here is going to be burned in fire.
Amen.
Because at the end of the book, it's a new heaven and a new earth. So the only thing, again, that we bring are the people that we get to influence. That's our inheritance. That's our legacy.
Amen.
Here's my question then. Why do I go to work in a secular work environment at all?
Or better yet, how long will you?
That's a good question too.
Yeah.
If we truly are looking at this scripture in ways that are deep, you have to ask yourself that question. If in fact, the only thing we take up there are people we influence and so forth, why work at all? See, I've seen men become so godly, so Jesus-y, they are of no earthly good.
Yes,
they're not working. They don't want to work. Everything is about salvation and God. They're on food stamps. Their house is in foreclosure. But they are the most spiritual, non-working men I've ever seen to the glory of God.
I look at it too. Christ, he went to where the sinners were. Okay, he didn't go to where the saved were. So we got to submerge ourselves. You know, have a foot in both ponds, I think, so you can stay balanced.
Yeah, so listen, I'm not saying working for worldly stuff is bad. I'm asking this. Who's spending Rush Limbaugh's money? What's Rush Limbaugh's life work going to go to? Now, here's the good thing about Rush. I don't care about his money. He left a legacy inside me. Did he leave a legacy inside anybody else? I don't care about his money, right? But his money was also extremely influential. Come on in, Randy. Larry, I don't know if you want to come back in. Let me give Randy and then Rochelle and then Larry.
Coach, I think of OJ and his testimony, how much it has affected me. OJ, and this is, I see myself in what he did because OJ gave up his passions. He lived his whole life. I have too, basically. And I've had I'm very passionate about a lot of things. Football was one of them. But when I decided, Coach, I made the decision to choose God's life over my little life and give up what my little small version of what my passions. I let them go, and I caught on to the fire of God, the compassion of God. And that changed all – it made everything small. And this is what you're teaching us, Coach, through the Ecclesiastes here, that vanity. Vanity, our little view of our life, if that's what all we have, that is vanity. But when we trade that for this God and his kingdom and the compassion of God, man, it's different. You look back and you go, wow, I was such a little person. Jesus was little. Now Jesus is huge. This is where we have to move into, Coach. It ain't about me anymore. It's my life is about activism. It's about what OJ has done. He traded fishing. He was moved into the lake to fish, and now he's fishing for men.
Amen.
It's a great trade.
Amen. Vanity, vanity, all is vanity. Rochelle, then Larry.
I just wanted to comment on the work aspect of that. Work is important, though. It allows people the ability to, you know, to take care of themselves, to take care of others, to produce and to serve. And if you can work and keep a smile on your face and affect others around you in a positive way, that you're witnessing just by doing that, just by being nice. And people really appreciate that because, you know, it's a dark world. So work is good for a lot of things. You can really spread the happiness if you're a happy person.
You can spread it that way, and you can fund Ohio Brett, right?
That's right. And I did, by the way. Check it out.
Okay. The point being, rather than going out and buying another boat, right, buying a bigger car, at the end, at the end of your life, you're going to sit there. Are you going to be held accountable for the number of boats that you had and how much property you own, or are you going to be held? Are you going to be rewarded for what you invested in kingdom stuff? And I'm not trying to get your money. I'm trying to I'm trying to get you to open your eyes and see. Go ahead, Larry.
Yeah, I just wanted to point out that, you know, parables are way, way, way deeper than they're taught in Sunday school classes. And Jesus, you know, said he told parables so the average person wouldn't understand them. Yeah. That about the 99 sheep and all that, something that most people never think about is that shepherd went out to find one of his sheep that had gone astray. He didn't go out to find a sheep that had never belonged to his flock. Think about that.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. David Arthur, I'll try to get you in here one more time before we go, brother. I'm sorry we haven't been able to get your signal. So you want to try again? Good to hear from you, by the way.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Hello?
Hello, right.
You know what, Coach Dave, this really is speaking to me this morning. Huh?
Go ahead.
So this is really speaking to me this morning. It is all vanity because it's all personal. You know, the church is running around talking about they have a personal relationship with their God. And, you know, when he rescued me, it was no longer personal. It became an intimate relationship because it's no longer about me. Mm. Nobody wants to leave the comfort of their home because of they're close to their family. They're close to their things. They're close to their job.
Yeah,
but guess what? When it's no longer personal and it's just about others and about being one small part, that's when you get to lose all that vanity.
Amen. Vanity, vanity, all is vanity. Nothing new under the sun. Craig, you want to come back in?
Yeah, just real quick, Coach, because our mission field is our jobs. Our mission field is our family. Our mission field is our church. If Rush Limbaugh instilled in the people that were around him the qualities, then he's got five or six other Rush Limbaughs to build on that $70 million or whatever he's leaving. Amen. So he can get $350 million.
That's what, okay. But the point, but Craig, the point is, if he did not invest in the lives of others, they're going to be spending it in ways that's not going to be good for Rush. If you know what I'm saying, right?
Actually, and so when Randy's out there pouring concrete and people are out there talking about God and having prayer, he's doing a twofer. He's doing something good in this world, and he's doing something good in the world to come.
Amen. Amen.
Vanity, I think that is the key.
It is. It is a balance. Larry said it. JR said it. It's balance. It's balance. It's balance. And if we're not careful, that scale gets tipped too much towards us and how important we are and how much more stuff we need. And yeah, I could support Ohio Brett, but boy, if I do that, then I'm not going to be able to get that shotgun I've been saving up to buy. Right? It's all priorities, baby. When you you laying dead in that coffin.
Now you're getting in dangerous territory. Yeah. Messing with my guns.
I got you, brother.
You start messing with my guns.
All is vanity, vexation. All of it is. We'll see you tomorrow. God bless you.